Now, justice is one of the most important ideas for a society to grasp. And that is because it is impossible for people to live together in any degree of harmony or in any lasting or beneficial relationship with each other if there is not a shared and solidified concept of justice. If just two people were stuck on an island in the middle of the ocean, the one thing that will determine whether they are going to get along to live and thrive in their small society is whether they both have a similar concept of justice. If their ideas of justice are completely and vastly different, there will be a lot of problems. Even things like problems in a marriage often come down to a different view of justice. Whenever something goes wrong in a society, it is a matter that relates to this. Every group of people, no matter what context, has a standard of justice, either spoken or unspoken. And that standard underlies the foundation of their relationships with each other. And it defines what is and is not appropriate behavior. Justice puts responsibilities on each of us, for others around, as well as prohibitions as to what we cannot do to others in the world around us. There's perhaps not a more important topic, one that affects us in our relationships, and a topic on which our humanity stands or falls, like justice. That being the case, it is not surprising that the vast majority of disagreements and divisions between people has to do with a disagreement on justice. It may be personal, it may be ideological, but when we have a division or a disagreement or a debate with someone based on whether something should be done a certain way or whether it should be done another way or whether a certain thing should have been done or should not have been done or if a certain way of going about things is right or wrong, that is really a debate about justice. Justice is a very popular word these days, even if most people don't understand or perhaps even think about what it means. But it is something that people like to say a lot, and it is meant to add weight to an issue. Everyone knows that justice is important and that it is foundational. But I think that there is a great misunderstanding about what it is and disagreement. With this has come an inevitable abuse of the term and even an apathetic attitude towards justice. After all, how can we take justice seriously in a world where the word is used so much and yet few people seem to know what it means? We live in a day where that is very politically divisive and polarizing. And what I think people don't understand is that we aren't just debating political issues or political ideologies, we're actually having a social and societal crisis about how we define justice, how justice should be carried out, and the ideas that justice and our ideas of justice should be founded on. Perhaps the word justice brings to your mind an idea called social justice that has become very common in our day and age. Despite all the confusion that the world has concerning the topic of justice and the different ideas like social justice that are being very much pushed on the world and from the world and from different places, and it is part of this polarizing debate that the world is having, how do we go about defining justice and getting this idea of what it is? How do we speak to a world that is fighting over what it is in a way that is helpful, in a way that actually shows we know what we're talking about? Despite all the confusion of this topic, we need to know that it is something that Scripture is clear on, and it is something that God makes very important it is very important to him. Psalm 99 verse 4 that we've looked at tells us that the King of the universe loves justice. Justice is the essential character of God's nature, the essence of who he is, how he acts in the world and how he relates to people. With all that being the case, it is impossible to know God and pursue the life that we are called to live in Christ unless we have a grasp and a definition to begin with of what justice is from a divine perspective. Today we will look at justice and how confused the world is by it and what Scripture teaches about it and how it changes every aspect of the Christian life so that we may grow more and more into the image of Christ. So let's begin by asking the obvious question, what definition of justice can we work with? What is justice? And it's actually funny because despite various opinions and vast divisions and polarizing debates that we have on the topic in society today, the definition is actually rather straightforward and undebated. Everyone can give a relatively similar definition of what justice is on a very broad scale. Justice is the standard to which we are expected to conform in relation to one another. Justice is the standard to which we are expected to conform in relation to other beings, to other human beings, and from a Christian worldview, also to God. It is how you are to relate to others. That is what justice is. And that actually, the world may use different words, but that basic definition is basically unchallenged. We all know that that is what we're talking about when we talk about justice. Unless you do have voices from the world talking about environmental justice, so I guess you might have some people who talk about how it relates to the world as our relationship to the world. But I think generally the way the word has been usually used is it relates to how we relate to others, what you should and should not do to other people, and what are your expectations, your responsibilities, and what things are you prohibited from doing, and when someone does something that is prohibited, how do we deal with it as a society? These are the questions that justice is meant to answer. So we all know what justice is on a very basic and broad level. And the truth is that even though the word social justice has come to mean a very specific movement, all justice is social. All justice is relational. It has to do with how we relate to people. The term speaks to treating others fairly, or as they deserve, or as you are expected to treat them. It is to treat others in the right way. The assumption behind the standard of justice is that between a group of people, there is an intrinsic equality of being. So when we start talking about justice, we are assuming that we are all on the same level of equality in terms of dignity. All men are created, all men and women are created in the image of God, and therefore have a standard of equality. We are equal in that way. We are in the dignity of being created creatures of God, made in His image. There is a certain certain standard of equality. And since everyone is created equal, they therefore deserve equal treatment before the law. Most standards of justice assume this, assume that there is equality on this level. It doesn't necessarily assume that there is equality in everything, but it assumes that in our basic human dignity, we are all equal before God. At least that is the way a Christian would look at it. That Christian definition has still, I think, leaked through and carried on to the world. So though they might not say we are created equally before God, there's still this idea of equality. There's an equality of dignity. And therefore, we all deserve to be treated equally before the law. That is what is called a human right. In a word, justice is about being fair and doing what is right. When we talk about human rights, we are talking about what is the right way to treat a human. and to treat another human. So it is about what is doing what is right and what is fair to each other. And this is where the confusion comes in. Because so far, we're all more or less on the same ship. We all more or less agree that justice is based on treating each other according to our equality of dignity and treating each other rightly and fairly. It also means giving people what they deserve. That they are praised and rewarded when they conform to a standard of justice, and that they are penalized when they go against it. This gives everyone in the society a reason to live justly and to avoid doing what is wrong. It also enforces that standard of justice as a norm to be followed, and not an irrelevant rule to be overlooked and ignored. So the confusion about justice isn't so much in how we define it as a general concept. It's about how we understand essentially what it looks like when it is carried out. When the world debates justice, that is usually what they were debating. However, Christians have an entire new perspective altogether, because for us, justice is also in how we relate to God. We've talked about how one of the ways that the world has a hard time understanding a lot of the things we believe is because they don't take into account that we put God above others, and that we put our relationship with God into this mix of what is justice. But when the world debates justice, what they're debating is, how do we carry out justice? How do we make life fair and treat others rightly? For example, in order to have a standard of justice, you first have to agree on what fairness and equality actually means. So is it fair that everyone gets the same opportunities in life? Or is it fair that everyone gets the same outcomes in life? Both could say it's equality, but they're very different ideas. Is it fair that those who work hard get more wealthy? Or is it fair that wealth is distributed evenly? If the former, if it is fair that people who work hard get wealthy, is it then fair that those who work hard can afford more or better legal representation when they stand before the law? You then have a problem with, is everyone equal before the law? But if the latter, if fairness is distributing wealth evenly, then how is it fair that people who maybe don't contribute to society are rewarded? I can almost guarantee that every one of you has an opinion or an objection or some kind. You got your wheels spinning about this, what I just said. Because this is probably one of the most polarizing things that you could possibly talk about in our society today. And what I want to just show is that there is a problem with defining justice, because every time the world tries to define how we carry out justice, there is a countermeasure. Justice is confusing because the way we define the terms of justice and the words that we use to describe it are vastly different from each other. The word equality could not be a more debatable term, or the word freedom. This makes it difficult to live in the same world as others who disagree with what we define as fair. This is why this is something that is important for us to talk about and think about. Because we live in a society right now that is at war over what justice is. That is why our political climate, and especially in the States, the political climate is so polarized. It's not just political ideas. We have a foundational crisis as a culture. What is fair? What is justice? What is the right way for me to treat another human being? And what should I expect as a fundamental right for myself to be treated? There are other questions about justice that are confusing and difficult to answer. There are things in the past, for example, that we could all unanimously agree were unjust. The African American slave trade, the Holocaust, the residential schools. Those are all things we wish we could go back in time and erase. Some then raise the question, are we responsible today to bring justice to those situations? Or to the ramifications of those situations, even hundreds of years later? If so, which cases do we pick and how far back do we go? How do we bring justice to people who maybe aren't alive anymore? And how selective are we to right past wrongs? This brings another frequently debated topic. Is justice primarily applied to groups of people or to individuals? And this is where the whole social justice movement has its battlefield. Is an entire group of people guilty for a crime committed by some of them? And is another group of people considered victims because some of them were victimized? These are the things that are currently being debated, and with great emotion and zeal, and because they are foundational to the way we look at the world. Just as Pilate asked Jesus, "What is truth?" our culture is desperately asking, "What is justice?" So despite the deep-seated convictions we may have, these are difficult and messy questions to answer. And I think you are blind if you think that your position is perfect. So how do we as Christians navigate these difficult issues? It's so easy for us to take a definition of justice that we got from the world and say, this is the Christian view of justice. And I think when one of the problems we see in evangelicalism today is that the world is influencing our definition of justice more than the Bible is. On both sides, whether you have more right-leaning Christians or left-leaning Christians, it's the same problem. So the obvious answer for us, and the correct one, is that we need to go back to God's Word and observe what God Himself considers just. To promote justice, we must know and pursue its author. So when God created mankind, He inherently imparted a standard of justice to us. That is because He created us in relationship with Him. When Adam and Eve were created, they were given a single command, a standard of justice that they were to adhere to if they were to live in relationship that they had created in, they had been created in. This standard is based on one universal, unchanging truth, that God, His person, and His character are the foundation of justice. Notice how the first command is not actually about how people interact with each other. It is about how people interact with God. It is a test of whether they obey God and submit to His leadership or not. This gives us the very first rule of defining justice, the rule that the world always overlooks. Conservative or liberal, they always overlook this rule. That justice starts with God. That justice primarily is about how we relate to God. And secondarily, it is how we relate to each other. And the two are very tied. How you relate to God is going to affect how you relate to others. And how you relate to others is going to affect how you relate to God. You can't, Scripture tells us you can't hate your brother and love God. And we also know that if you love God, that flows out to good works that you practice to other people. But we must realize that one of these two relationships, a relationship with human beings and a relationship with God, one of them is superior, and one of them is the foundation of justice, and it is our relationship with God, and it is this truth that God defines justice. That justice is based on what He says it is, and it is based on His character. I cannot emphasize this enough. This is where we break from the world. This is where our definition of what is just will be always different from what the world says is just. Sometimes it may be parallel, but there's always going to be a break because we are going to be primarily considering our relationship with God. The world will never consider that. It doesn't think, is this right before God's eyes? When the world thinks about a gay marriage, it doesn't say, is this right before God's eyes? Rather, it says, is this right in how we relate to each other? And that's why the world can't understand our position on gay marriage. It's because they don't realize that we have a completely different foundation of what justice is and how we define right and wrong. There is nothing else and no one else in all of existence that can become a fair standard of justice. And that is why in any society, no matter what political or ideological foundation it has always has injustice somewhere. Systematic, habitual injustice somewhere in that society. If you look hard enough, if you look closely enough, if you dig enough, you will find it. And that society will be blind to it and will try to be blind to it. I think overwhelmingly the greatest injustice of our time is abortion. It is something that our world does not want to think about and shuts out. But it is the red flag. It is the place where we see injustice habitually practiced almost unchallenged. But if you look at any society, you will find the same thing, whether it is the African-American slave trade back in the late 1700s. Or if you look at some of the, if you go way back before, you see things that we wouldn't even think as humane or completely normal in past societies. They were just injustices that were cast aside, that weren't thought about. Perhaps they were more just in other ways. So this is why the very root of evil and injustice is human beings deciding what is right and wrong for themselves, rather than looking to God and always following His ways. In the evening, we've been looking at Cain and Abel, and how Cain's great sin was that he decided to follow himself and reject God and reject even trying to worship God. So he killed the one who did worship him and started a society based on human glory. And what did we get? Several generations later, there's Lamech, who kills a man for almost nothing, for injuring him, and makes excuses for it. This is what happens when mankind decides what is just. This was the mistake Adam and Eve made when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it is the same mistake that made right at the beginning of any, that is made right at the beginning of any conversation in the world about justice. We have to realize that whenever a non-Christian uses the word justice, they actually mean the opposite. That is, they don't mean following God. They mean, and they always mean, following their own judgment, their own ideas of what is right and wrong, good and bad. So do you see that? That is actually the opposite of justice. Even though the way the world may practice justice may look like maybe things that we agree with, you know, helping the poor and the needy. These are things that biblically we know are supposed to happen. But right from the get-go, we know that they are thinking of something that is completely the opposite. Because in Scripture, at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, there were two choices: follow God or follow man. One was the good choice, one was the just choice. The other was the unrighteous choice, the unjust choice. And every time human beings talk about justice without saying, what does God say? They're actually following the path of injustice. That is leading them away from it. So it is not surprising that every society that will ever exist and that has ever existed has deep-seated systematic injustice. So going forward, we need to keep this in mind, that God is the center of justice. It is both from Him and for Him. He is its author and its master. And like everything else in the created world, it exists for His glory. Justice has very little to do with you and me in its purpose. So from a biblical perspective, which is the only important perspective here, what is justice? Well, if justice is to do or enforce what is right and refuse and go against what is wrong, then we can simply define justice as following God's word. We can take that first definition of justice we have about treating each other rightly and having right relationship, and instead say it means having a right relationship with God and right relationships with others as a result, not as the main purpose. His commandments, His expressed will, and His character is suitable and is the suitable way to live our lives. This is the logical conclusion of all we have seen about justice in Scripture so far, even from Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and 3. More than this, it is believing Him. That is, justice isn't just following God's commands. It is believing that these commands are actually good. If you were a crew member on a ship, you have a responsibility to do all that your commander or officer or captain commands you to do. But if you do all that they say and don't believe that they are doing the right thing, you are, in effect, saying that you would be a better captain than them. That you would be better at making these decisions. If you were to question the laws of justice reflected through Scripture and don't believe that they reflect true justice, even the ones you don't understand, you are telling God that you would be better at being God. And this is exactly what we told God in the garden when we ate of the tree. Adam and Eve decided that they were better at making the decision of what is the right thing to do than God was. Is this not what Cain also did when he offered an offering that was not based in faith? And that when God gave him the choice, be consumed by evil or follow me, he went out and murdered his brother. This is why faith is at the center of the Christian life. And faith is at the center of justice. Because the obedience God wants out of you is not some unconvinced half effort or a cold sense of duty. He wants you to follow His ways and obey Him because you believe with all your heart that what God says is right. Before anything else, true justice begins in your heart. It begins with believing God and acting on that belief. Because God is the center of justice, He is the author and exists for His glory, then justice is not an option for those who would seek to worship God. This point is made over and over again in the Old Testament. The worship of God cannot be separated from the practice of justice. Although justice could be broadly interpreted as doing the right thing to God, according to God's commandments, in Scripture, it is always used specifically to do what is right to others according to God's commandments. Think of the two great commandments that Jesus mentions in Mark 12, 28-34. Jesus says that the first one is to love God with everything that you are. And the second one, He says it's like the first one, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. How is it like the first one? In content, it is totally different. But I think what Jesus is saying is that the two commandments are related, in that you can't keep one without keeping the other. You can't love others truly with the kind of love you're supposed to love them without loving God and without experiencing His love. And you cannot love God if you hate others and do not show love and compassion and justice to others. What's interesting also is that this command, which becomes the foundation of all commands, both of them include the word love. If you love God, you will love your neighbor. And I think that this is interesting because I think when most people think of justice, at least a lot of people, when they think of justice, they don't think about love. I mean, sure, they'll think, well, that's the loving thing to do, but love in Scripture is so deep. It's not just giving people the right thing. It means caring. It means investing. It means that you actually are committed to this person and that you are willing to sacrifice yourself and things that you hold dear, that you are willing to sacrifice resources and time and energy to make sure that that person is more well off. And that raises the bar of justice to an entire new level for the Christian. It means that we can't live a life of coin tossing when we think about justice. So, with that discussion about love, we are brought into asking the question, what does justice look like in the Christian? And that is part of the answer. It looks like love. So if we are to define what it looks like, the goal we are aiming for when we get up out of our pews and go into the real world is essentially this: to love others in the same way that we expect to be loved, and to treat others the way that we think it would be just to treat ourselves. In order to be, and that is the golden rule, right? And in order to be a just person, you cannot just be someone who follows the letter of the law. To be just means to be loving. It doesn't simply mean, as I heard one professing Christian say, to simply obey the law and that's it. I remember actually hearing a Christian, a professing Christian, say that giving to the poor is not an act of justice. And I could not disagree more. Because justice is love. It's loving others. And his view from the conversation, his view of justice was just obeying the letter of the law. It was just doing what was commanded of us in the Bible and in human law. And that's it. But that is such a wrong and foreign way to define justice according to Scripture. Because even God in the Old Testament, He saw Israel sacrificing and following all these worship regulations. And He actually says that these sacrifices, that He doesn't like them, that they're detestable in His sight. Why? Because they weren't practicing justice. They were oppressing the orphan and the widow and the foreigner in their land. Because they were not practicing justice, because they were not loving others as they themselves would expect to be loved, other acts of worship to God meant nothing to Him. Even in the New Testament, we know that if a husband is not treating his wife justly, the New Testament says that God doesn't hear your prayers. Worship is actually disgusting to God when it comes from someone who does not practice justice. And that is someone who does not love other people and let the love of God flow out of them. Love is not extra to the Christian life. Compassion is not additional to the core foundations of the Christian life. And generosity is not going above and beyond what is expected. Rather, these are the bare minimum. They are the core elements to what we both believe and practice. We are not merely to give others what is due to them. We are called to help them even when they don't deserve it, and to show love to those who would not show it back. Is this not what Christ commands us in the New Testament? He says, don't give to others who you expect to be given back, or don't just lend to others who you think will pay you back. He says that the Gentiles do that. Unbelievers do that. Give to those and lend to those who you don't think could pay back. And that is what gives you reward in the kingdom of heaven. That is what Christ considers an attitude of justice. So we are commanded to love those who are in need and love those even who don't deserve it. And justice is not just to assume the worship of God while ignoring the needs of others, especially those of God's people. And again, this is the context Isaiah lived in. And this is reiterated by James, who talks about faith without works being dead. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 58, verse 6 through 8. Is not this the fast I chose for you? to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and to not hide yourself from your own flesh, as to not hide yourself from maybe those relatives that you don't like to visit very often. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness is a word that is closely tied with justice, and is often the same word. Your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. One of Israel's greatest flaws is they tried to separate worship of God from showing love and justice towards each other. It is our Lord himself who will accuse those false worshipers on his left by saying, "What? I was hungry and you did not feed me. I was thirsty. I was imprisoned and you did not help me." Notice how justice is tied to the treatment of the poor, downcast, and unfortunate, and a special attention is paid to those who are the people of God. In that place, and this is often ignored, Christ says, "Whatever you did to the least of these, my brothers." So Christ is specifically talking about how we treat other believers. So this is the second rule of justice that the world ignores, and is not really relevant to the world because they're not the church. But the first rule is that justice is founded on God. The second rule is that justice is prioritized. It is actually prioritized to the people of God. This does not mean we don't show justice to anyone. In fact, this doesn't mean we lower the standard of justice that we show to the rest of the world. It means that we up the standard of the justice that we show towards each other. Do you see what I mean? This does not mean showing less justice. It means showing more justice. There is a special, though, you can't read the New Testament or the Old Testament without seeing that there is a special treatment of justice paid to the people of God. When we seek justice, we seek it for those of the faith first and foremost. Although we must certainly seek it for all people. There is an equality of dignity, but in terms of whether we are in Christ or not, there is not equality with us and the world. So there is a standard of justice that is applied to all people, but there is a special love, a special care, a special responsibility that you have to anyone who believes in the name of Christ. So when we seek justice, we seek it for those of the faith first. So when we display it for each other, we are displaying the love that Christ has for each of us. And when we show it to the end before the world, we do it to show them the God of justice that they need to be saved by. In short, to show justice means to have a heart for the low, a heart that is centered on God's love for those who humble themselves and cast themselves upon him. In effect, to be just means to love those that God loves. In the way that God would have you love them. In the way that you yourself would like to be treated with love. It means to live and promote around us a lifting up of those who are downtrodden, forgotten, especially those of the faith. That is how justice works itself out. James 1:27 says that religion that is pure and undefiled before the Father is to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. And how relevant this text is for today. Because it almost seems sometimes that the way the debate goes in the world is you either fall on this side or you fall on that side. And what this tells us is we need to pay attention, special attention to justice and to caring for the poor and to caring for the less fortunate and for the struggling, for the hurting, but to do it in such a way that we are not conforming to the world standard of justice, that we are unstained by the world, that we keep our worldview biblical, You may say that this is not a command to be just, but rather to be merciful. I would answer, doesn't God command us to be merciful? If so, does that not make it the right path to take? And if it is the right path to take, does that not make it justice? So mercy is part of justice, just as divine wrath on unrepentant sinners who spit in the face of His glory is just. I bring up the justice of God again here because His justice and our practice of it must be unified. The wrath part of justice is left to God. That's not something that God would have us fulfill. But the love part, the patience, the enduring, because God is patient with the wicked before He shows them His wrath. That is the part of love that we are responsible for exemplifying. God will take care of the wrath part. So throughout Scripture, the theme arises over and over again. Justice is not seen as giving us what we deserve, but rather giving God glory and being like Him, which means helping those in need, just as you would be helped, is not centered around the people you're helping. And so the way you serve them is actually going to be better because you're not serving them, you're not helping them with the mindset of, I need to give them what is right to give them, I need to give them what they deserve. It's thinking, I need to give them what Christ gave to me, with the same generosity and the same love that Christ gave it to me with. So when it's actually a great paradox, when you stop focusing on the people you're showing justice to and focus on God, you're actually going to show them better justice and better love. Another word for justice in the Bible, I've already said, is righteousness. And righteousness, the righteousness of God, will both condemn some and save some, because justice has this one end. Justice isn't being nice to everyone. If it was, everyone would go to heaven. Justice is for the glory of God. And anything that brings Him glory is just. This is why, you know, when you have people in the world pointing us to the Old Testament and they say, like, how are these violent acts that Israel did to the Canaanites, how are those just? And our answer will not be satisfactory to the world, but our answer is simply because it glorified God. Because God ordained that they would be a tool, that Israel was a tool for the wrath that He was showing at that time. And I don't care what you think. You won't think that this is just if your mindset is based on justice being human-centered. But it's God-centered. And that is the answer. If you've ever had someone challenge you on that, that is the answer. It was the thing that brought God glory. And that is the center of justice. Justice never changes, but sometimes the way it's carried out does. We know from the New Testament that God's people today are not the tools of God's wrath. We are the preachers of the gospel. We will never go to war with Canaanites in a literal sense. We have been told in the New Testament that we are to instead be patient because we are waiting for a day when Christ will do that part. So justice is what brings God glory. And it looks like, for the Christian, it looks like the love of God flowing out in all directions. With the same patience, the same generosity, the same kindness that God shows even the most wicked person in this city by giving them good things. So we've talked a lot about what justice is. Now we must address, and we are approaching our conclusion, but we must address what justice is not. That is because the world does not see justice the same way that we do. They don't see the glory of God as the center of justice, and therefore they accuse God of injustice at times. To them, justice is centered around humanity. And this brings many false ideas about the nature of it. So here are three wrong ideas, I think, that we can easily fall into about what is justice, either consciously or subconsciously. First, justice is not revenge. True justice does not demand personal payment for past wrongs done to yourself. There's a difference between revenge and God's vengeance. Revenge is when you take it upon yourself to enact what you think is just, according to the wrongs that have been committed against you. The problem with revenge is it makes you judge, jury, and executioner. And in your sinful heart, you're not good at any of those roles. It is God that repays each according to his work. And God is greatly forgiving, so should you be. This also means that we do not push guilt or blame on people because of the deeds that they have done in the past and repented of. Or, what's common today, because of the deeds that maybe their ancestors did. Everyone answers to God for themselves, as well as to the governments that God put them in place, that God put in place. Second, and this relates to the government, while established by God, doesn't always do what is just, like it is supposed to. A biblical view of government sees it theoretically and the way that we should treat it as it is established by God. Romans 13 makes it very clear that it is just for us to support with our tax dollars a government that God has put in place. And people will say, well, our government today is so corrupt, we shouldn't do it. Well, what do you think the government was like in Paul's day? But Paul still said that we need to treat the government as a entity that God has put in place to exercise justice. That is why it exists. And it is not up for us to decide whether it's doing it best or not. Although we can certainly judge its fruit. But we at the same time must balance that with the realization that government is not going to be just a lot of the time. And that does not necessarily mean we start a civil war or anything. But it means that we realize that justice goes beyond what the government defines it as. If the government says abortion is okay, that does not make it okay. And if the government says that gay marriage is okay, that does not make it okay. And if the government says that you must be tolerant to other perspectives in your church and that you cannot talk about people going to God's punishment, being punished by God, that is not okay. The government will be unjust. But that does not take away our responsibilities that Romans 13 clearly lays out for us. But when the government and God's word contradict, we obviously have to go with God's word. The third false idea about justice is that seeking group identity is not how you should seek justice. And this is me addressing the social justice movement. Seeking group identity is not how you seek justice for yourself or others. There is a way of thinking that claims that to seek justice, that claims to seek justice for groups of people who identify with any kind of minority group. And while this can sound very good on paper, the reality is that the followers of this movement, often labeled, you know, social justice warriors, seek equality through power and control. So the way that they define justice is basically taking power away from people who have it and giving it to people who don't, or giving it to groups who don't, so that the power struggle is reversed. And this leads to a lot of wrong ideas about justice. It leads to a vengeful mentality and an inequality in justice that is based more on the group you associate with or the group you are associated with than your character. This is not just according to the Bible. It is man-centered. It divides people rather than uniting them. It encourages bitterness rather than forgiveness. And it is selfish and man-centered, not centered on the glory of God. Maybe I should tell you what I really think. Stay away from group identity, politics, and their views of justice, and don't confuse them with the biblical mandate. Yes, the Christian is called, and I want to be clear on this, the Christian is called to help the poor and the immigrants and the widow and the orphan. We are called by God to help those people, especially if they are one of us, especially if they're part of the faith. But we are not called to take away power from the supremacists and give it to them, like some kind of vengeful revolution. And we are not to take guilt and push it on people whose ancestors may have oppressed certain groups in the past, but simply because they need help and because we are called to show the love of Christ. That is why we help them. Do you see the difference? Their version of justice is pathetic and pointless. And it actually creates more inequality than equality. It destroys the unity that justice is supposed to give. God's justice is centered around His glory and character. And this is something I want to address, because a lot of Baptist churches are getting sucked into this movement. I've heard of churches that have Bible studies where only certain races are allowed to attend. Is this the 1930s? It's segregation all over again in the name of justice. You have university campuses where white people aren't allowed to be on campus on certain days. This is completely a reversal. We're going back to segregation. We're going back to all the things that we were against and we should be against. That is not justice, my friends. That is not justice. And we need to be careful, because a lot of churches, a lot of Reformed churches, are being sucked into that mentality. And it will divide the body of Christ. I guarantee it, if we embrace that. But to conclude, the most important thing about justice is that it is centered on God. He is the creator of justice, and it is meant to serve His ends and His glory. Justice is part of worship. The way, when you serve someone in the name of Christ, when you help the needy in the name of Christ, when you are an emotional pillar to someone who is struggling with mental health in the name of Christ, you are worshiping God. Justice is part of worship, so our theology and the way we practice justice must be perfectly united. When we forget that justice is about God, we will twist justice to serve our own human ends and needs. And we will, I guarantee it, compromise our beliefs. If you want to know what justice looks like, look to Christ. His care for those in need, His care for those with disease, with demons, with dead or dying children, and grieving parents. His justice was unequivocal. it was equal. You had Him, anyone who came to Him in faith, He showed mercy on. Whether you were a Pharisee coming in the dead of night so you weren't seen by others, or whether you were a Roman centurion whose servant was sick. So we see the attitude that Christ had, where it didn't matter who you were or where you came from. What was different was the faith that you showed in Him, because justice is centered on Him. Finally, look at the sinner that you are, the injustice that you have wallowed in throughout your life, and the grace that God showed you by sending His Son to die for the unjust. Revenge was His, but He slaughtered His own Son for our sake. Justice looks like a cross and an empty tomb, a second chance, and reconciliation between everyone and anyone who comes to Christ. It's so beautiful when you see throughout history or even in the world today, two people who might come from families or clans or races that have forever been at war being united in brotherly love in Christ. That is justice. In Him, there is no dividing wall between us. And in Him, there is no injustice. If justice was simply getting what you deserve, you would be in hell already. For the ways that you have defamed God and His glory, the ways that you and I have sinned and done what is wrong rather than what is right. But thanks be to God that justice is so much more than that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and your goodness and your love and your justice. We thank you, Lord, that you are a righteous judge and a merciful Savior. Lord, that you give unjust people who deserve, who rightly deserve wrath, who rightly deserve hell, who rightly deserve anything but mercy, that you show mercy. Because love is part of justice. And that at the cross we saw the demands of wrath and the mercy of love come together in the perfect picture of justice. Lord, may that speak to our hearts today. Keep us from a worldly way of thinking that worships the creature rather than the Creator when it comes to this subject. And instead, Lord, have us centered on you, on your glory, and the gospel we are trying to spread. And may that, Lord, make itself evident in an even more just life, so that when the world looks at us, as your word says, they will see our good deeds, they will see the righteousness and the justice that we practice, and they will turn to you and glorify you. Lord, with our lips may we always be preaching the gospel, and with our hands may we always be practicing your justice. Until you come again, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.